720 WGN. As Sister Sledge, and we are family, or are we? Mary Beth Sammons, author of a really great book called Ancestry Quest, is with us. Good evening, Mary Beth.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks. I thought that was pretty cute, the We Are Family.
Oh, just hang on. I got a whole lineup of cute stuff for this.
Okay.
Oh, man. I'm just scratching the cute surface. All right. I happened to write a book once, and I thought I would do a thing about my family at the beginning of it. So I videotaped my father, who has long since passed away, and he told me this story. And I'm going to tell it to you because it fits perfectly with what we're talking about.
Okay.
Here we go. I was very close to my mother's family and especially my grandmother, Sophie Kahn. When I was an adolescent and visiting grandmother in Berlin, my cousin and I became interested in our family history. Nobody seemed to know much about the earlier generations of Kahns, but they remembered there was an old abandoned Jewish cemetery in town that might offer a few clues. So we took along someone that could read Hebrew and we found several gravestones. My cousin took meticulous notes and wrote down all the names and dates from the gravestones, and he promised to do more research when he got home. Unfortunately, he lived in Hanover and had to take a train back to his hometown. Now, the bathrooms in those trains were notoriously bad, and this one was no exception. When he went into the bathroom stall, he noticed that they didn't have any toilet paper. Well, this was an emergency, and my cousin had only one piece of paper that would solve that problem, the piece of paper with all the notes about the family's history. The Kahn family history was literally flushed down the toilet on a train to Hanover. There you go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a story.
That's a story, and your book is so, man, I just really enjoyed it, because this whole ancestry quest is such a hot topic, I guess is one way to put it. It's very popular. There's a variety of ways of doing it. And your book has not only suggestions on how to do it, but it also has suggestions of what not to do. And it has also some collections of great stories, some of them heartwarming, some of them a little shocking. Depending on what your genealogy and your DNA reveals, tell me a bit about putting this book together and talking to these people.
Oh, okay. Well, I got the idea for the book because in my family the heritage is Irish, and my Irish mother would never talk about the fact that her father left when she was two and disappeared. And so we were never allowed to talk about it. But when my mother was dying, she said to me, you know, Mary Beth, would you try to find out what happened to my dad? And, you know, she was in her 90s, so he would have been in his 120s. And so I set out on this mission to try to track his ancestry and, you know, through Ancestry.com and some of the sites and then DNA, you know, 23andMe. But at the same time I was doing it, I started realizing that everybody around me had a story, and a lot of the stories were shocking. You know, the person found out that their mother wasn't their mother, or they found out that they had eight siblings they didn't know about, or that they were birthed through infertile, fertilization, laboratory, and so it's just, you know, I'm a former journalist, and it just really grabbed my attention that this was such a phenomenon, and I started researching it, and the numbers are pretty shocking, and they say that 26 million people by the end of last year had taken DNA tests, and that 27% of those found out about an ancestor or a parent that they didn't know that they had.
Wow.
So that's, you know, yeah.
So, and this is the... This is the time of year that these things are given as gifts, aren't they? I mean,
exactly.
Yes, right.
Exactly. And the experts that I've spoken to, you know, people hire private detectives now to find their ancestry.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are studying this. And you know, they said people are have good intentions. They set out, like, here's a fun gift to do for Christmas, and then there's no secrets anymore because of the internet and because of DNA. And so, you know, 27% of the people are finding out things that they are pretty shocked about.
Well, some of the stories, and they're all, they all have their own unique appeal, but then some are like the story where they did a search and found out that these, I believe it was sisters, lived 30 minutes apart from each other in Georgia for 10 years. Both of them gave birth to their children on the same year. They were both pitchers on their school softball team. They had the same breed of dog, and both and both were preschool teachers. That is really something. I mean, I get chills. I get chills when I think about stuff like this.
And they had originally been adopted, you know, and lived on different sides of the country, but only in the last, you know, since they were adults, they ended up living that close to each other. And, you know, their story is a beautiful story. They are really good friends now, and they look at each other. It's like looking in a mirror. You know, and but they all, both of them both said that there was, they always felt that there was something missing, and they never really knew what it was, because they were raised by adoptive families in really good homes with really loving parents, but they just felt like something was missing. And then when they found each other, they realized what it was. So,
and on the, I think you made reference to this, on the other end, there's a story about finding out her parents were actually her grandparents, and her sister was a was her mother. I mean, that's a whole, that's a whole different story, and we'll do more of those with Mary Beth Sammons, the author of the great book, believe me, I read it, it's good, Ancestry Quest, when we come back on 720 WGN. It's a family affair. Not only that, but somebody in your family may be the result of an affair. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? That's not so far from the truth if you really want to know. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Mary Beth Sammons, author of Ancestry Quest. There's so much that I want to cover. I hope we can get to all of it, but can you do the Ryan story that's in the book? Do you know what I'm referring to?
Is that the, which, is that the Fitzpatrick Ryan?
That ends up with Quinn Ryan?
I'm not sure. Sorry.
No? 2 years ago. Well, at any rate, you know, I'm sorry I didn't mean to put you on the spot. At any rate, I'm reading this, and somebody was doing research and on their past, and their last name was Ryan, and they came across somebody named Quinn Ryan, and it turns out that Quinn Ryan is one of the people who started this radio station. So.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Yeah, I do know. Yeah. Sorry, it took me a second. But the person that actually traced that, he is, it's an interesting, he's made a profession, he's in the Michigan area, and he calls himself a psychogenealogist, and he's the heir to that family, and he, by doing, he did a ton of research into his own family, and he realized that, you know, the connection of how important our identity, you know, who we are, and what we do, and what we think of ourselves, is part of our psychotherapy, you know, for psychotherapists to examine, that that plays a big role of who our ancestors are. And so that's very exciting.
Yeah. I was reading along and I'm like, wait a minute. I know a Quinn Ryan. He was very famous.
Yeah.
WGN. Absolutely. I mean, and so I looked him up, and, a long list of accomplishments. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, this is the season that a lot of people decide that maybe something along the lines of an ancestry quest is an appropriate gift. And there's, but like L3andMe.com, Ancestry.com, FamilySearch.org, FindMyPast.com, MyHeritage.com. What would you recommend? What would you recommend on how to do this correctly?
For people to start? I think one thing to do is to designate a family member that seems really interested, you know, like the Nancy Drew or the reporter in your family that really likes to dig and look for facts. I think you might want to send somebody out there first because of these surprises to do a little digging before they hand out DNA tests, for the holiday present. But I find that those sites, they're all very good. And in recent years, they've put most of these records on the internet. So you can find out a lot. You know, in the past, you had to go to churches or cemeteries in the country where your family's from. But a lot of the things are available online. One thing that you don't do is on these sites, people create family trees. And it could be somebody that you don't even know in your family, but they're not as accurate and they might not have the right facts. So they say never just look for the records and make sure you check it against the record, because people will use, well, Aunt Marge said that she was the mom, and then put that up there as fact.
Yeah.
And so you really have to fact check what you're doing. But I was thinking about it for this holiday season. A lot of people start out doing their family by asking different people to research different things, and they hand out like a list, like you look into grandpa, where he was from, and then come back next year and tell us what you found. But this year, with people doing Zoom holidays, there's probably a lot more time and interest in having those conversations with family members, or else you play some games on Zoom. But this might be a good place to start with seeing who's interested in the family and seeing what they know and what holes need to be filled.
Do you have to, on these websites, is it required that you have sent in a DNA sample to be able to access what's going on, or can you just go on and enter a name?
No. Yes, some of them are free. Some of them you pay like a monthly fee for, but you do not, 23andMe you have to pay for. That's the DNA site, and then some of the others do DNA. And then you pay for the DNA. But to just do the digging, you can go, you do not have to get the DNA to just start looking for facts about your family.
Wow. Yeah. I've always had a question about another branch of our family that I know nothing about, that no one ever talked about, that I never got a complete answer for. I would see their name pop up. Landecker is my last name. It's not It's not a common name, but it's not unheard of, I guess. And when I was reading your book, I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is the year. I want to find out, because something went down. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a reason for this, and I want to know what it is, because your book is full of instances where people don't want to talk about something until they're about ready to die. And then it's like,
I really encourage you to do that, because once you start looking, you'll be able to find it probably. I mean, there are some people, I've hit a brick wall with my grandfather, and that's another long story, but you probably will be able to unearth some information. And on these sites, there's, you start digging around, you find other people, and there's these green leaves, on Ancestry, these hints pop up.
Oh, yes.
And so, people will lead you to hints. And once you start digging into it, it's almost serendipitous that the facts start coming to you. And that happened to me a ton of times with my grandfather. Like, I was scheduled to go to Scotland and not thinking anything about genealogy. And then 2 weeks before, something popped up that said his last home was in Scotland. Never thinking that this Irish grandfather who came to the United States ended up in Scotland. So that opened up a whole other Pandora's box that I started digging into. So you have to like to be kind of a sleuth, and it sounds like you are, and but you have to be prepared, what you might find out. And then people say, you find out that we're all human. And so you might find out that, your mom was not your mom, or your mom had another child that you didn't know about. And then it also can be healing, and that it can lead to empathy and some compassion when you understand the context of where the person, the time when the person lived, the economic circumstances, the way, like you said, your family didn't talk about things, my family didn't talk about things. And so vulnerable people do take desperate measures sometimes. So it might offer you as a human being a little bit more compassion instead of judgment against some of the things you might find out.
Yeah, I felt that some of the things that were revealed were really quite benign and would have been out, could have been out in the open for a long time, and then other things not so much. And the reaction that you can get from what you find has already led to a therapy program for...
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's interesting. There's therapy programs and then there's groups. You know, there are a lot of groups like on social media, on Facebook for people who find out that their parent is not their parent. And they, you know, in some ways these therapists say it's, you know, you have to go through a grief process and they'll help lead you through it. There's also private detectives who do this, will do the work for you of, give, you know, calling up and say you find out something in the Landecker family. And, you know, you don't want to surprise somebody on the phone like, hey, it's Monday night. Just thought I'd call you on your daughter. You know, like, you know.
Hi, so, Mom.
Yeah. You know, so you want to be delicate and, you know, figure out what your motives are about how you approach. Because I do, you know, there were some circumstances. I know of one, she's actually a friend of mine, and she found her biological mother. And it turns out, you know, she's from the Chicago area, lived 2 miles away from her. Wow. Found out she had a brother a year younger than her. And then she was the only one the mother gave up for adoption and then kept the other children, six other children. And she found her mother and was very excited to reunite with her. And the mother will have nothing to do with her.
Wow.
And the siblings will have nothing to do with her. And yet they both are part of a group, you know, a heritage group that I am familiar with. And
you
I've been there and seen her mother and seen her. They're identical looking. And the mother will literally walk by her and pretend she doesn't know her. And so that's some kind of, so there's a, you know, there's a tremendous hurt there.
Yeah.
From that rejection.
Let me get to a phone call we've got here before we run out of time. Okay. Sherry is on the line. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. What's your story?
It's an honor to talk to you. But I found my birth family 3 years ago, and it took me a while to get the guts up to finally make contact. My birth mother had been gone for a while, but I was born in 1968, and everything was closed. And my best friend from high school, who's into genealogy and stuff, sent me an ancestry DNA kit and kind of said, just do it. And I was kind of like, all right, whatever. I didn't expect to find a thing. And I eventually found out I went to high school and was really good friends with a cousin. And, yeah, it was bizarre. Like, she actually went on a date with my husband.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And I found a sister and two brothers on my birth mother's side. And then my birth father, he had three marriages. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But my sisters and I look just like my birth mother. My sisters and I just went this year, and I would have never, ever, ever done this. But I went and got a, we all got a tattoo. So, I mean, it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I'm so excited. I think it's great. They're pretty cool with it, too. We all get along. The one sister lives in Wyoming, but the other one lives probably about 20 minutes from me. We talk every day.
Wow.
I've met aunts and uncles and cousins. And last year, I went to Disney World with my aunt and a cousin.
Wow.
I mean, that's a great story, Sherry. That's a great story. Thanks for calling. And I'm glad it worked out well. Glad it worked out well.
Yeah.
Mary Beth, obviously you know the name of your book is Ancestry Quest. How do we buy it?
It should be available pretty soon in, now in bookstores, but it's also available on Amazon.
Well, I just totally recommend it. I mean, it's like, I've never heard or read anything like this, you know? I mean, these stories, one after the other, are fascinating. And are the tips that you give on how to do this and what to look out for and pitfalls to stay away from. I just found it really, really interesting. The only DNA, this is going to be ridiculous. The only DNA search I ever did was for a dog that we got from that was a mutt. And I wanted to know what was what in this dog. And so they took a swab, they sent it to this place, and it wasn't cheap, I'll tell you that.
I know. My daughter did that, yes.
And it came back, and he's a variety of things, as most of us are, I guess. And but that's the only instance, because he's a little loony. And I'm like, what is going on here? So he's got a lot of things in his DNA, none of them bad. It's just a potpourri, a mixture, if you will. But that's my only actual DNA search.
Right.
It's for a dog. And, you know, that's safe because...
That's safe. Yeah,
yeah, you're not going to find out anything shocking about your dog, hopefully.
No.
Certainly
hopefully.
Not along the line... They're certainly not along the lines of the stories that are in your book.
No, that's correct. That's correct.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Beth. Thanks for being with us, and really enjoyed your book, and all the best to you and your family. And even
thanks very much. I look forward to hearing about your search someday.